So thanks to all of you. And I've enjoyed doing through July this all request sermon series. I loved getting all of your ideas and your thoughts and the things that you wanted to hear about, and I hope to keep hearing about that. About 12 or 13 years ago at my one of my previous churches, Martin Grove United Church, I did an all request sermon series there as well, and I got some interesting requests. And since we have this unanticipated bonus Sunday service today, I decided that I would pull one of those out. I pulled out one of my favorites from that series all those years ago for you today. So this is kind of the unofficial last Sunday of the All Request Sermon Series. So let's begin with prayer. Loving God, we're so thankful for your word, for your guidance, for your presence in our lives, and we pray that as we reflect on these holy scriptures and on your presence in our lives, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So we know that after Jesus was resurrected, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that he gathered his 11 remaining disciples, minus Judas, of course, which we know, and Jesus gave to the 11 remaining ones what we call the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission, when he sent them into the world to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the Great Commission is the moment when they went from being disciples to being apostles. The word apostle comes from a Greek word apostolos, which means messenger. So someone who was an apostolos was a messenger, someone who carried a message to someone. An apostolos, for example, is also the root for our English word post, which is mail. And at one point, Paul tells the Christians that they are living letters. As people, they are living letters from God to the world. So it brings a whole new meaning to the term going postal. When we as Christians go postal, this is actually a good thing, right? It's not terrifying. There were 12 official apostles named in this passage from Acts, including Matthias, who is added after the fact, although there were technically more. There were technically more men and women in that day who carried the gospel message, who went as messengers throughout the world carrying the gospel. According to the passage from Acts, the main qualification for becoming an official apostle was to have been an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus in his earthly lifetime. So that's why Matthias was chosen. And this was to authenticate the early church's post-resurrection proclamation of the ministry of Jesus. Paul, who we refer to so often as the Apostle Paul, Paul was a latecomer to the apostle business, right? And not an eyewitness of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, right? But rather, Paul was an eyewitness of the new life of Jesus the Christ. And he often found himself, because he wasn't an eyewitness, he often found himself in the position of having to defend his right to call himself an apostle at all. Now, probably most of you, if I asked you to name some of the apostles, would name what we would call the major apostles, like Paul, and then Peter and John and James, right? And these three were part of Jesus' inner circle during his earthly ministry before the crucifixion, and we read a fair amount in the Bible about them. The others have come to be known as minor apostles. That's not very nice, but I guess the Old Testament has minor prophets and the New Testament has some minor apostles. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a minor apostle. There are less famous apostles whose names are not as familiar to our ears and whose legacy may be largely forgotten by most people. But even most of those still have large churches and major universities throughout the world named after them because they made indispensable contributions to the spread of Christianity throughout the world. About some of the apostles named in the New Testament, and as you read the names, if you've been watching The Chosen at all, you can almost picture them, right? Like if you've watched the first season, if you've kept watching, you can picture them. So some of the apostles named in the New Testament, such as Thaddeus, who is also referred to, strangely enough, as Judas, not Iscariot, and then Simon the Zealot, and James the Younger, who is also referred to as James the son of Alphaeus. In Chosen, he's called Little James, which is unfortunate as well. Of these, virtually nothing is known outside of the fact that they were named on the list of apostles. And then there's Thomas. Thomas is known as the doubting one who touched the risen Lord and believed. But nothing is said about Thomas after that. Matthew, of course, was a tax collector who got up and left his booth to follow Jesus. But the only thing we know about him after Jesus' death is that, you know, he went to jot down a few little notes about Jesus' life that happened to become the first book of the New Testament. What we know for certain is that the spread of Christianity throughout the world could only have happened the way it did by each and every one of them doing their part. Some in different parts of the world, and many of them staying right there at home in Jerusalem, where they built a large Christian community. And without any one of them and their devotion and commitment, the spread of Christianity as we know it would not have been possible. Most of the apostles were just normal people like you and I, but people with great faith that compelled them to work selflessly for the sake of the gospel. And while maybe none of us will ever have the impact of Paul and Peter and John in the world, the so-called minor apostles show us how important even the smallest acts of faith by ordinary believers are to building the kingdom of God throughout the world. As I talk about some of the less celebrated apostles from the Bible, listen for yourself and think of people you know who could fit these descriptions. Now, most pastors and scholars agree that we can't actually talk about apostles without including Mary Magdalene, who was never officially listed as an apostle or a disciple because of their understanding of gender roles at the time. But because she's a woman and yet is mentioned so often throughout the Gospels, the real importance of the role that she played in Jesus' ministry is undisputed, right? She's mentioned so often that she was crucial to the ministry. Many, in fact, consider Mary Magdalene to be the first apostle, as she was the very first eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection, and she was sent personally by Jesus to tell the other disciples the good news. So she was the first one who was sent by Jesus to spread the good news. Mary is considered by some to be equally as important as Peter in that she was given this direct revelation from the risen Christ to pass on to the others. But it's not her great oratory skills or her writing that she is known for. It's her unfailing devotion to Jesus, her care for his well-being right up until the moment of his death, and even after his death. Mary is known as the leader of a group of women who provided for Jesus' ministry and who cared for him and provided for all the disciples and fed them and was with them, providing for them from their own means. And I mean, does this not remind you of any loving, devoted women, dedicated women that we know in our midst here at this church? Another person who is considered one of the first apostles before the death and resurrection of Jesus is Andrew. Andrew, right? Who is Andrew and how could he be so important? And yet he has large churches and major universities around the world named after him. Although Andrew became, after the resurrection, Andrew became a missionary to Scythia and died as a martyr, he's often remembered by us for being Simon Peter's brother, right? Imagine living in that sibling shadow, right? Sure, you got a university in Scotland, but I got the Basilica in Rome. The Gospel of John tells us one of the two who followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This simple, no pressure invitation is the essence of being an apostle. Andrew had seen Jesus with his own eyes, and he knew that he was the real deal. Instead of trying to explain or persuade, his message was simple. Come and see. Come and see with your own eyes. Come and listen with your own ears, and then decide what you yourself think. Andrew was not a charismatic leader with a flashy message or mesmerizing presentation, but without Andrew's simple come and see, there would be no Peter and no or his big basilica. Likewise, the Apostle Philip's main claim to fame is that he was the one who went to Bartholomew, who is also known as Nathanael. I don't know why these people can't just have one name. But Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, Philip went to Bartholomew and told him simply, "We have found the one, Jesus of Nazareth." The church cannot grow, nor can lives be transformed without the Andrews and the Phillips who are here amongst us. They are the ones who understand the importance of just extending that simple invitation to others to come and see. Come and see what we have found in Jesus. Bartholomew is named on all of the biblical lists of disciples and apostles, and yet he is mentioned nowhere else in the New Testament. But Eusebius, who was the main historian of the early Christian church, identifies Bartholomew as one of the apostles who went as a missionary to India, where he left a copy of the Gospel of Matthew. So he took Matthew's gospel, went to India, and he left that with them there. Well, the main leaders of the early church were headquartered in Jerusalem and were known by their writings. Devoted believers like Bartholomew fell off the radar. But the gospel could not have spread without this simple act of just going somewhere and leaving a copy of the gospel. Like Andrew's gesture of invitation, this simple act of just putting the word into someone's hands can make a big difference. That's why we have a number of Bibles here that we have to give to people. And if you don't have one, a copy of the Bible at home, we'd love to give you one. Or if you know someone, you can take one and give it to them. Now, some people still travel today as missionaries to far-off lands, but as modern-day apostles, we don't have to travel very far to find people who have never heard the gospel, and people who have spiritual needs, who might be helped by that simple and precious gift of the Word of God. A family member with spiritual questions might appreciate receiving a copy of the Bible to read for themselves rather than listening to someone preach at them. A friend who is sick or who's going through a personal struggle may find that a card with an encouraging scripture verse is just what they need to get them through. In this way, we can all be apostles, whether we're halfway across the world or right here in our own neighborhood. And then we come to Mark, also known in the Bible as John Mark, who was too young to be a disciple of Jesus and is not on any list of apostles. In fact, when Mark accompanied Paul on his mission trips, he was a teenager, right? And you know how teenagers are, right? Oh, they get bored and abandon their mission. And then wise old apostles like Paul call them irresponsible and refuse to let them come back again until they learn to do things the way they've always been done, right? But then just one person believes in them and gives them a chance, and they go on to do crazy things like write the very first gospel. You know, the one that has lived on in the Bible for almost 2,000 years? Oh, the crazy things teenagers do, eh? Oh, wait. And then they go on to found a new church in Egypt, which was the beginning of Christianity on the African continent. And then they give their lives for the gospel by courageously dying a martyr's death. And then they have major cathedrals in Venice named after them. And the world symbolizes their life with the image of a lion. Mark shows us that the growth of the kingdom needs the contributions and leadership of young apostles. Teens are observant and astute, and they bring energy and creativity and so many other gifts to the service of God and their community. And the gifts that they bring as apostles of Christ should never be underestimated or devalued. We should all be encouraging and not hindering the contributions of the John Marks in our midst, and the Jane Marks. Is there a Jane Mark? Finally, most ministers' favorite apostle is Barnabas. His work and activities are chronicled throughout the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, although his name does not appear on any list of apostles in the New Testament. This sounds even worse than a minor apostle. He's considered a secondary apostle. As he was not an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry, but a post-resurrection convert. Barnabas was a central player in the conversion of the Apostle Paul and was a cousin to John Mark. In fact, Barnabas was the one who believed in Mark and gave him a second chance. Barnabas is best known for living up to the literal translation of his name. Barnabas means son of encouragement. His role in bringing Paul into the early church and supporting Paul's mission and his encouragement of Mark and others was critical to the founding and the spreading of Christianity. Barnabas's story points us to the importance of behind-the-scenes ministry, which is absolutely essential to effective ministry and evangelism. Barnabas was not the one in the spotlight, but he was always behind the scenes helping out with a positive attitude, encouraging others in their ministry, and championing those that the others cast aside. Throughout the history of the Christian church, there have been a handful of high-profile people whose work has gone down in history, the Pauls and Johns and Peters, the Augustines and Martin Luthers and Billy Grahams, etc. But behind these few prominent people, there have been thousands of Barnabases who humbly and quietly encouraged and supported the ministry. Behind every minister, who is often the visible face of the church's ministry just by virtue of standing up here every Sunday, and behind every music director and every council chair and every strategic team, there are dozens of Barnabases without whom the ministry just wouldn't happen. Supporting and encouraging the ministry of the church is one of the simplest and most basic, yet most important apostolic tasks that any follower of Jesus can undertake. All of the things that these people did, all of these so-called minor apostles, played an indispensable role in the spreading of Christ's kingdom throughout the world. And the truth is that anyone sitting here today is capable of what they did. All of us have the gifts for at least one of these kinds of apostolic ministries. And so we all have important roles that we can play in building the kingdom of God. We are all apostles, and nobody is a minor apostle. We are all saints chosen by God, called and set apart for a holy purpose. And any one of us, young or old, can love Jesus with our whole heart, can say to a friend or neighbor, come and see. And we can all encourage each other to keep on living lives of faith and discipleship as we work together for the building and for the good of the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And would you please pray with me as we gather our thoughts and gather our hearts together to lift our prayers to God, trusting in his great mercy. Loving and sovereign God, we are here as your people, grateful for the gift of this community, a people called together by your grace, redeemed through Christ and empowered by your Holy Spirit. Just as you guided the early church in times of uncertainty and growth, guide us now. Where there is division, bring unity. Where there is fear, bring peace. Where there is need, stir generosity within us. We thank you for those who, like Barnabas, bring encouragement, for those who, like Mary, bring loyalty, who, like Philip and Andrew, bring simple obedience, who, like Mark, bring youthful energy and creativity. We thank you for the voices among us that speak life and comfort, for hands that serve quietly, and for hearts that love freely. Help us to be that kind of church, not only in word, but in faithful action. We lift before you, O God, the needs of our world, for the hungry, for the displaced, the grieving, or the weary. Let your church across nations and neighborhoods be a witness to your compassion and justice. We pray for those facing illness, isolation, or sorrow. May your comfort and healing surround them. Strengthen us, Lord, for the week ahead. Give us eyes to see where you are at work, ears to hear your call, and hearts willing to respond. Trusting in your mercy and grace, we offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.